The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Selah. It means pause, it means reflect, it means stop. It means think about for a moment what you have read. Don't go instantly to the next moment, but slow down. And we do this because the scriptures are always telling us about things that are important, things that are worth stopping and thinking about. And in this particular psalm, it's a testimony of a person who realizes that they have messed up and they are looking to God for answers. The title tells us it was written by David. It could have been written by anybody. It's a very relatable, very practical psalm that applies to anyone from any generation. And the reason it's practical is because it's put sin into perspective. While we might not like to admit it, we all owe a debt to God. It's a debt which is unpayable. It's a debt which is constantly increasing. No matter who you are, no matter what background you are from, no matter how good your intentions, no matter what aspect of life you want to talk about, all of us are in the same boat when it comes to our standing before God. Left to our own devices and left to our own capacity and left to our own means of salvation, there is nothing that we can do that gives us the ability to get rid of the debt. It is a spiritual debt that we will drown in. And so that means we need to look outside of ourselves for salvation, looking at the one who can give a defense on our behalf. And when we do that, our eyes, they go to Jesus every single time. And they have to go to Jesus because Jesus is the only one through whom the salvation work has been done. He died to pay the penalty for our sin. He swallowed death alive and he extinguished it. He burst forth from the tomb and he is the sin conqueror. Jesus did all of this that when we put our faith in him, sinners are no longer defined by their sin. They are defined by God's transformation in their lives. No matter what I do, no matter how many times I fail in my goodness, no matter how difficult I find it on this earth, no matter how many times I attempted to give up, no matter what, I know my Heavenly Father will catch me and keep me in his secured arms. Now, what that means is this, is that unconfessed sin does not trump the grace of God. In this psalm, we have to understand the sin perspective, otherwise we're going to misunderstand what it's teaching us. In this psalm, it's not saying that you have to be able to verbally confess every single sin in your life, otherwise you won't be saved. The psalm is not saying that your eternal destiny hangs on this thread of being able to name every single sin you have committed. And it's not saying that you need to do a better job of naming your sin, otherwise watch out. The reality is you cannot name every sin. Because if you were, all you would be doing is spending your lifetime naming the sins. That is the weight of sin that sits upon us. It would take a lifetime. It will take more than a lifetime. And so when the gospel says that when we put our faith in Jesus, we are forgiven for everything, that is true. Past, present, future. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we confess our sins to Him, when we trust in Him for His redemption and for His love, we are saved. And so unconfessed sin does not trump the grace of God in the sense that once we have committed our lives to Jesus Christ and stand in His grace, that that's going to be able to separate us from Him. Do you see how it's working? But while all that is true, the continual confession of sin leads to continually experiencing the renewing hand of God in our lives. David was a man, and the scriptures describe him as a man after God's own heart. He was also a man that committed murder and adultery and a whole range of other sins as well that even he continues to confess. And yet, through that process, God still calls him a man after his own heart. And so we're dealing in this space, not of transformational forgiveness that brings us into relationship with God and holds us into relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but what happens after that? What do we do with the sin that we hold on and carry and deal with and struggle with after we have been born again? And in that space, this psalm is saying, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. Blessed is the one who's been unfaithful to God, but who repents. Blessed is the rebellious one, the stubborn one, the one who has humbled themselves before God as well. Blessed are all the sinning no-hopers who live in this world, a blessing that comes with confession. That's the blessing we're talking about. Not the blessing of coming to the light out of the dark, but the blessing of standing in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ as His believer, recognizing I still struggle with sin. Blessed is the one who does that. But here's the big problem. A lot of us don't like that. A lot of us, I think, struggle with this idea of being able to confess our ongoing sin. We actually find it easier to hide or easier to shy away from. But in the lack of confession, we miss the blessing. Now, whether you are 9 or whether you are 90, confessing your sin is like taking out the garbage. Once is not enough. Imagine if in your house, in your one lifetime, you only put the garbage out once. No one will come to your house. You won't even be able to live in your house. It's an ongoing thing, isn't it? Some days we may only have the spiritual equivalent of a crumpled up box of cereal and a banana peel. The other days we might have the spiritual equivalent of a chicken carcass and the bacon fat and the leftover prawn bits, which are disgusting because prawns are disgusting before you even start to peel those things, right? And they're sitting in the bin. And if you don't take them out, you see the picture? The truth of Psalm 32 is this, that confession brings blessing. And a lack of confession stalls the blessing. The quicker we are to confess before the Lord, Lord, here I am, I have done it again. The quicker we are to do that, the quicker we are revived. We are renewed. David knows this because he's been there. David had commanded God, God had commanded David to do one thing and David had done another thing. In doing so, David Who is a man after God's own heart? David rebelled against God at that specific point. Now, what is the specific sin? We actually don't know. It could be in connection with the sin with Bathsheba. It could be another situation where he was slow to confess. Knowing the specific sin actually doesn't make a difference in the way we apply the psalm. It's David's reaction that we want to focus on. Instead of getting on his knees and telling God about it, David tried to pretend it doesn't matter. David kept silent. This doesn't mean that David has lost his faith. This doesn't mean that he is in danger of God pushing him away. It doesn't mean that he's not even praying. He could be praying. He could be bringing other things before the Lord. But this one issue, this sin, he is keeping silent about it. He's taken this sin and he's put it into a box. And then he's opened the cupboard and he's put the box up on the top shelf in the cupboard and he's sat it there to try and hide it, to keep silent about it. He can be in communication with God about all sorts of other things, but not this one. And as a result of keeping silent, David says, my bones were wasting away through my groaning all day long. Bones don't waste away that easily, do they? When you go into the outback and you walk around and there's a dry place, you can find the bones left of a kangaroo that's died. The bones will stay there for ages. Gives you a picture of where he is at. This is the feeling, God, I've been in this place and that wasting away, that said, this is where it is and it's an ongoing thing and it's so slowly and it's weighing me down and it's not disappearing. And I'm struggling, Lord. Because I am keeping silent. It's the very opposite of renewal. And that's where Selah comes into the relationship. You see, in the age of the instant, I think that we kind of rush to put all of our sins into a pile. Yeah? Just gather them all together and put them in a pile. And then we step back and we say from a fairly safe distance, oh, that's my sin. Lord, forgive me for my sin. This big pile. God does forgive. We know he does. But when we do that, here's what I'm thinking. When we put the pile there and we say, Lord, forgive me for my sin in this big pile here, does that really renew us? Does it bring us to a place of celebrating the wonder of God's grace in our lives? How many times have you prayed, Lord, forgive me for my sin? And yet the weight still sits there. And the guilt, and the shame, and the hurt. How many of us have been praying, Lord, forgive me for my sin, and we'll think of a sin that we did years and years and years ago, and we still carry it. And it still weighs us down. What if we were to try something different? If that's what's happening, what if we were to try something different? What if we were to practice Selah. To pause and reflect. To stop for a moment and think about what we are reading in the scriptures rather than going instantly to the next verse that we go a little bit slower. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Selah. Go back. Oh yeah, thanks, brother. Remind the people to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle towards everyone. Selah. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Selah. Are we being something, silent about something that we really should be confessing? Because we just lump all of our sin together. Where we take the instant approach, the quick approach. When we move away from the instant, it's going to change the way that we pray, isn't it? As we sit there and we look at these sins, as we let the scriptures help us to understand who we are, as we let the scriptures penetrate our hearts and our lives to look at even some of these verses and go, God, am I patient in affliction? That means that when things go against me, I don't react quickly. But I recognize that God, in your plan and in your purposes, that you work through suffering. Or have I become angry? Shaking my fist at God, how dare you again do this to me? Taking the time to stop, to slow down, to allow the Spirit of the Lord to penetrate in our lives, to help us to see not just those obvious things that we are carrying, which are weighing us down and which we're being silent about, but those other things as well. Those things where we justify it because they're the smaller sins under the smaller sins, guys, recognizing there is no such thing as a smaller sin. And in praying this way, that the blessing spoken of in the psalm, the blessing that which has been stalled, that as we pray in this way, that the blessing will flow in the form of renewal. A true confession, God is bringing David to his senses and he is renewing him, and that God will do the same in our lives. And when we go through those days, in those days when God appears far off and unconcerned, in those days when vitality is lost and we're feeling dry, in those days when we're groaning and the weight of our brokenness is before God, in those days when we realize that we've lost our first love, in those days when we are confronted by the reality that I'm hiding my sin into this big pile and I'm keeping silent about it, even when at the same time I'm asking forgiveness, in those days, all we need to do is come to the foot of the cross and we say, here I am. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge my sin to you. My sin of gossip. My sin of anger. My sin of harboring a grudge. My sin of speaking out against a brother or sister in Christ. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to you, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. The Lord brings renewal through confession. And then what happens? What is the blessing? Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. The rising waters, the seas, in Hebrew, thinking the seas are a place of chaos. To not have the mighty waters meet us is to have an overwhelming sense of security and have peace in the midst of the chaos and the difficulty. The rising waters are also the waters of the flood, the waters of judgment. God's renewing gives us a reminder that the eternal judgment is not on the way for those who stand in the grace of God. And so there's this renewal. We can look ahead and keep looking ahead to the day that the Lord will return, and we will not have fear. The renewed will have a renewal of assurance. Psalm 32 verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eyes on you. Whose loving eyes on us? That's God's loving eye. That's Yahweh's loving eye. So the Lord here is speaking directly to the psalmist in the first person. I will do this. I will teach you. I will walk with you. I will be your instructor. I will be with you every step of the way. This is a picture, isn't it, of an early picture of the Old Testament of the Spirit of God promising to be with us to the very end of our days as we walk in Him. He will give wisdom and understanding. He will give purpose and calling. He will give direction and focus. There's this renewal that comes, and a renewal of spiritual clarity in our lives. Psalm 32 verse 11, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Earlier in the song, it was bone rotting, sleep disturbing, energy zapping, vitality robbing silence. And that has been replaced with rejoicing and singing and praise. There's this renewal in relationship, renewal in hope, renewal in peace. The renewed who have a renewed song in their lives. This is a psalm. It's a song about the blessing of renewal through confession. This can be your song. We just need to take the time to stop and think about what this psalm means for each one of us today. Selah. Our Lord Jesus, that which you have spoken to us, not just in your word, but in the silence, may we, Lord, hear, not with just our ears, but also with our hearts, as we respond to your word today. May your word do within us your purposes. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.